Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello, my name is Lucy Kiden and I'll be taking you through today's discussion on Democracy in Action. Our focus is social media and its impact on civic and political space. Now, social media has changed the world. The rapid growth in numbers of people who use social media is also changing how information is shared and accessed across the globe. There are 7.7 billion people in the world, approximately, with 3.5 billion of these people online. This means social media platforms are used by one in three people in the world and more than two-thirds of all internet users. Now, according to Global Digital Insights, South Sudan's internet penetration stood at 12.1% of the total population at the start of 2024. This means that internet users in the country increased by 22,000, which is approximately 1.7% between January 2023 in January 2024. So the use of social media in South Sudan has grown in popularity in the past years since independence, particularly for Facebook, X, formerly Twitter, and WhatsApp. Now, just to discuss more on social media's in South Sudan and its impact on civil and political space, I'm joined this morning by Patrick Oyet, CEO of Juba Echo TV and president of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, who is also a member of NCRC representing the media. Patrick, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And then we have Nelson Kwaje, who is a chairperson, Digital Rights Frontlines. You're welcome, Nelson.
Okay, thank you so much.
Right, so now as we get into the discussion, first of all, let's understand what is political and civic space. Patrick, you could start with civic space and okay. Then Nelson, political.
Yeah, it's more or less the same. Civic space actually is basically an environment that would allow an ordinary person to participate in the affairs of the country, whether they being social, whether they being economical, or even actually political, that even you are not a member of parliament, you are not a Payam administrator, you are not a commissioner, you don't hold any position in government, you should be actually allowed to participate in social issues, economic issues of the country, and even political issues. How you can participate by giving your opinion, for example. If something you see, for example, a budget is being discussed, you can write to your member of parliament or whoever is representing you or to the government and say, this is my opinion. I think this budget should be like this, mm-hmm. remove taxes on fuel or whatever. You should be allowed to actually participate. If that is provided, then you have an open civic space.
All right. Yeah. And now political space, Nelson.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lucy. So whenever we talk about political space, these are also things that are globally recognized. So most of the time, most countries and most conventions, they drive the political space from the ICCPR, the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights, which is a United Nations charter mm-hmm. that articulates all the rights that are supposed to kind of be granted to people. I mean, when you look at the ICCPR, the freedom from torture, rights to liberty, security of persons, right to free trial, freedom of thought and conscience. So all of the things that are enshrined, and also like right to participate in public affairs. So the conventions under the ICCPR, and I think also I mean, in Africa, we also have the Banjul Convention. So this kind of governs the how countries should give people the right to participate in political affairs. And I think from there on now, we drive the different, then from that convention, we now drive the national and the subnational kind of laws for political things. And when we also look at from the African traditional sense, we have political rights even without articulating it in our conventions. Yeah. Whenever people sit and someone says, hey, I'm not being heard on my land has issues, or we need to be reconciliation or whatever processes.
Or we need this person to be our leader.
Yes, or we need this person to be our leader. Or at times when someone is aggrieved, there is a process for them to get redress. Yeah. Whether that is by paying some cows or that is through some whatever rituals. Those are also political rights that are enshrined in a very traditional sense that also people respect.
All right. So at the end of the day, it's about being able to engage in the affairs of the country,
exactly,
whether they affect the civil population or the political leaders and actors. All right. Thank you for explaining that. Now, let's now delve into how social media comes in and how it has transformed the way citizens engage in these political and civic spaces to address issues that in that regard, either politics or even affecting civilians. Especially with South Sudan, we are looking at the peace process and also some opportunities and the challenges that it presents.
Yeah, so whenever you look at social media, I think the advent of social media and political in political engagement in the world in general, it started with the Arab Spring. That's the first time people use social media to mobilize across, and I think Twitter and the rest. Before then, people used to think that social media is just for engaging, for what?
For fun.
For fun and what? Like, but the Arab Spring showed that like people can actually congregate and do that. But then when you look at what happened also in the election in 2016, now people also have seen that also social media can be used to shape people's opinion in a manner that is actually counter-democratic. You see it with the Cambridge Analytica and other things also. But these things also happen now in the continent. So now whenever you look at the political space and social media, it's actually a multi-front thing. But the main thing that you see, it's a tool for shaping public opinion and tool for organizing. You see, recently we had the incidents of the riots here in Juba as a result of the graphic images and the killings of South Sudanese in Wad Medeni. How did the people here in South Sudan get in touch with what is happening in Wad Medeni? There was no political messaging. The only thing is through those videos. I mean, you might say that is a very good tool for mobilization, but also that means also someone who is an adverse actor can actually stage such kind of images and put messaging on them and have a community do an uprising. So public anger is a tool that can easily be weaponized through social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to add to what Nelson has just said, the way we interact with our leaders now is very easy. For example, if you look at the president of South Sudan, President Salva Kiir, has a Facebook page. So if I want to talk to him, maybe I can use that, you know, pick something that has been posted there, share it, and maybe comment on it, and, you know, his office will get. So communication to our political leaders has become easier through also social media, that we can easily directly contact them now compared to previously where you needed a physical presence and maybe you call them, they don't pick. Now you can actually communicate to them. Whereas, as Nelson said, it is both ways. It can also be a negative thing that people can also attack others on social media over unfounded lies and things like that. But it is helping in terms of contacting actually leaders. They are more accessible now than before. It can also be used to, as Nelson said, on the positive side, to mobilize people to do a good thing. You know, to mobilize people to do a good thing. So there are many good things that can come out of social media as well.
And I like how you've put it, you've compared it a little bit to the traditional former ways of reaching the leaders. And I want Nelson to answer this. Why is the format for social media so unique that right now it has just brought this transformation and it has become such a powerful tool in terms of mobilization? What makes it unique? I mean, back in the day, still mobilization would happen, but then could you maybe just compare?
I think what if people need to understand like what happens with social media, it's actually there is a lot of psychological things that are being invested on these apps in a manner that it does not only it does not only change how people react, but it also changes how people behave. So you see nowadays when you go and meet someone at a function, you say like, I know you from somewhere. But that somewhere, you're not talking about a physical place. You're talking about a virtual place. So basically, that engagement that you have online, your brain actually constituted as a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You say, we met last time on a Twitter space. We met this in this place. So this virtual space, it's not like actually, it's an actual world. It's an actual world. But also you see now from that, a lot of these relationships are now even, if not as important, actually more important than the physical relationship, for example. And I think that format has changed so much. It has even changed how people behave and how people convey things. Like right now, you see, like with even happiness or even sadness. Yeah. You see, a lot of people take it very seriously. If you react to their sad post accidentally, you react to the laugh. Yeah. And I mean, ideally, that is just a face. But they take it very seriously. Why do they take it very seriously? Because they look at that emoji as a representation of all your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
As represented in that. And even if someone is, if someone died and what, and you accidentally react to the heart, people really take you, they form an opinion about your life. They're like, you are a hater because you did this and
how
this.
How can you like?
Yes, how can you like and all that? So you see now all these things, that's why we need a different vocabulary to talk about these things because they are not like the media that we used to.
Mm-hmm.
It is not like the media we used to. So now the accumulation of this, now all these things, the emojis and what, it is like a different language. It is like a total different language by itself. You look at memes. Memes are not just a translation of our emotion. Memes are like a different language with a different vocabulary. You can see something from Uganda, but all of a sudden, everyone in America understands what this is. Why? Because everyone in America, you show them this meme of this guy of, why are you gay? Everyone understands it.
Yeah.
Everyone in the US, in Russia, they all understand it. They don't need any language.
Yeah.
Because that means this medium now has brought a different language that transcends all these borders.
Yeah.
And even the way that the emotions, and that's why a lot of the leaders who do not understand it, they miss out. And those who understand it, they now harvest it to make a different thing. They can either use it to generate money, and people can use it to generate what? Like right now in South Sudan, there are some young ladies or what, who just run a small shop from their house. They get things from Dubai. They give it to a border guy. They deliver it to people. And they are just making money in a manner that is very unconventional. So this medium by itself, we need to understand it like a total different language and a total different world by itself. It's not a translation of what happens offline.
Offline.
Yeah.
Yes, but it can affect what happens offline.
It does affect it.
All right. And so now let's move forward and see. Coming back to political spaces and civic spaces, Patrick, in what ways has social media influenced conversations in South Sudan? And do you think it has contributed to a more inclusive dialogue, or has it caused more division?
It has done both. Number one, the social media has contributed a lot in South Sudan. Let me start with socially. Previously, you would find people in Juba and other places, not only in Juba, things like urinating along the roadside, spitting, brushing in public in the morning. You find people have come out with their sticks and they're brushing. And these kind of things have now kind of reduced, if not stopped, because people fear that, hey, if I, you know, go to urinate along the street, maybe somebody will take my picture and put on social media. If I brush and spit in public, maybe somebody is going to take it and put it on social media. And to some extent also, the violence that people used to have, you know, somebody would almost have an accident, they are almost knocking you with a motorbike, and then all of a sudden they come out, they want to fight and so on. So people are very cautious. They're like, okay, maybe as I'm trying to be very aggressive, somebody is taking it and will put on social media and it becomes a big issue. So in that way, it has also really, really contributed positively. Politically, it has also contributed. I always keep in mind this example of the former mayor of Juba, Khamis, when a video circulated that he had slapped a woman and the issue became very big. You know, this issue came out through social media.
And he was asked to step down.
Actually, yes. Sacked. Let me use that language.
I'm being nice. Okay.
Yeah, so you can see that really it has impact. Not only that, you remember the issue of extrajudicial killing in Unity State, which actually happened in a place that there is no TV there, there's, you know, but the issue came out in social media. So really, it has really impact on us. Yes.
Thank you very much. Coming to you, Nelson, now, let's look at how the public can utilize social media in terms of holding governments and leaders accountable. Are there some examples where this has actually happened and there's been social or political change as this result?
Yes, there is. There are actually like several examples. You can see the recent examples also with the outrage of the killing in Wat Medeni. The government didn't take it very with the same magnitude, because the government first, for the first 1 day or 2 days, only the press secretary addressed the nation, and you could see citizens saying, "No, we want to hear from the president." A lot of people saying, "We want to hear from the president." I think the outrage was so much that the president had to issue a statement. And when the president issued a statement, one of the statements on the headline of the statement from the press unit, it said alleged atrocities. And people are like, no, there is no such a thing as alleged. And from there on, you can see now the Foreign Affairs Ministry has actually really changed its rhetoric. You've seen the report that they published. They're actually now very systematic. They said, we condemn this, we don't like this kind of utterances. And that is one of the mechanisms by which you can address this. You see the issues of the cattle keepers and herders in Magu right now. That is a very contentious issue that has been happening in a lot of times. But now you can see now there is a very much, I mean, you can like it or dislike it, but there is a public outrage. There is a public outrage that is being communicated through social media, and that government needs to respond to. We've seen that also happen with the incidents of the Ugandan army encroaching in Magu, in Kejukeji. You see the video, people immediately react and they say, we want 1, 2, 3. We want this to happen. We want that to happen. And I think the idea is that now, probably the missing link here, in other countries, this is now channeled through political organization now, whether that is a political and civic space. But now in South Sudan, the missing link is that the offline political space is disjointed. So it has shrunk and it doesn't exist. So now the online one is very active, but it doesn't have the spark to now kind of take it either as a petition, as a march, or as...
There are limitations.
Yes, there are limitations. And these limitations exist because the political and civic space in South Sudan is very, very much restricted. Even if 10 people right now kind of just got in front of Radio Mirai and carry one paper saying something very harmless, even if it's an empty paper. Even if it's an empty paper, it wouldn't take 5 minutes before you find us some people. And at times it's civilians.
Yes.
It's civilians. Like, we actually been weaponized to now. Like when you go with a camera on the street, it is not the army or the security. It is the civilians who are coming to view you.
Yeah.
Who are you? The civilians now are are now the extension of such enforcement.
Interesting there, Nelson. Now, let me build on some of what you said earlier. I mean, good things also come with a bad side. Mm. And earlier you did mention how anybody who with an agenda can politically mobilize anger on social media in false pretenses. Mm-hmm. And that is some of the bad sides to social media. Some of this also includes misinformation, disinformation, spread of hate speech. And so how can citizens of South Sudan navigate these challenges and still remain informed and engage positively for change in civic matters?
I mean, there is kind of like a good message here, and there is kind of something that is a bit sad, because like right now, you know, there is time we run scenarios on like what might happen.
Yes.
Like, so right now, when you look with the South Sudan political space online, if you run some scenarios, we can easily go into violence because we don't have the shock absorbers. Like the system is actually in South Sudan, even in terms of communicating back, we don't have those shock absorbers. Look at the incident that happened that night, the shooting in Tomping at the house of the former spy chief. So that's a very clear example where you find that the information apparatus in the country have a response time of 8 hours. Like in terms of clarity,
yes.
They have a response time of 8 hours.
Yeah.
That 8 hours,
anything can happen.
Any nefarious actor, any actor that can invest anything as much as $10,000, $15,000, or even $100,000.
Or even airtime.
Yes.
And data.
In data. They can actually totally, because at that time, the public is clamoring for anything. So any message that is kind of spawned, even the message of saying, hey, they have started killing people on this side of the city, there is another, and that message is repeated consistently, that actor can immediately get people. By the time you find that people are fighting, remember, fighting happens. Once it starts, it will find ways to justify itself. That's why the same thing with the fighting in Sudan. It started with a different reason. But now people fighting because there is fighting. People fight to revenge. People fight to do what? We don't have the shock absorbers in the system. We don't have a coordination mechanisms for digital media to send messaging and to send even messages of assurance, of calm. And you see like right now what happened. Like people are saying all kind of things. 3 days ago, people are saying on Nimula Road, a bus has been stopped, equatorians have been removed and pushed and taken into the bush. Up to now, I have not had a statement refuting that. We know we have to, after the fact, we know that statement was false, but there is no one has refuted
no
it.
No official communication
to refute that and say this is actually not true. And so many people I know have canceled their trip based on that.
Yeah.
Based on that saying, all these things. So the system here doesn't have that enough shock absorbers.
So in light of this, how can citizens now?
Yeah, now citizens, we need digital literacy. Mm-hmm. I think we need a lot of digital literacy and we need ability to verify. We need that to be in the hands of the citizens. Being able to verify, being able to do, to check the information for yourself and to check actually alternative sources, not checking all your information from one source. That will also help you. And then the other thing is that don't consume information from only people from your clan.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And now we are approaching 20 minutes to the top of the hour. And if you've just tuned in, this is Democracy in Action. And we are looking at social media and its impact on civil and political space. In the studio with me is Patrick Oyet, CEO of Juba Echo TV and president of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan. We also have Nelson Kwaje, chairperson of Digital Rights Frontlines. After the break, you will have the opportunity to engage and ask questions or give a comment by dialing these numbers. Please note them, 0912-067879. 0912-068101, 0912-067929, and you can send a text message to 0912-177-141. We'll be back shortly after the break.
اسمتي هنري سوكا انا كمواطن جنوبي بطلب من كل شاب الجنوب إنه أقدر أقول إنه الحرب ما عنده معنى الحرب بيدمر وده زمن عشان إحنا نكون عندنا سلام وسلام عشان يجي لازم قلوب ناس يكون قلوب لكويس كل زول يشوف أخوه وأخته الجنوبي إتا ما تنظر لقبيلة زول دي هو من وين إتا ما تنظر إنه زول دي من منطقة ياتو عشان جنوب السودان بكون فوق عدالة بكون فوق سلام أزو كل ناس كده عينو نفسه تمون سوا سوا قبلية كده شلو برا corruption كده شلو برا كده نكون ناس تسلام أنا دير أقول لكل زول كل سياسي يسمع كلام ده كويس إنه جنوب السودان خلي يكون في سلام إحنا ما محتاجين تاني نشاكل كل كبير كل صغير كده نكون تيدة مع بعض عشان نبو كون في سلام كده صوت تسلا وقف أنا دير أسمع صوت مزيكا شكرا
سلام جنوب السودان فجر جديد بداية جديدة دعونا نحتفل بالسلام عليكم سلام Welcome back. This is Democracy in Action. And I'm here. My name is Lucy Kidan. I'm here with Patrick Oyet, the CEO of Juba Echo TV, president of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, and Nelson Kwaje, who's chairperson of Digital Rights Frontlines. We're discussing social media and its impact on civil and political space. You have the opportunity to call in and ask some questions right now. And let's hear from our first caller, Radio Miraya. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
My name is John, and I'm calling here in Aisora, Juba.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, Lucy, I would like to, you know, to pick it up from where Nelson stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding, you know, having a system that does not have shock observers. You know, this was the topic this morning during Mraya breakfast show. Very, very similar.
Yes.
Because, you know, the spread of hate speech in social media, which also trigger and also exacerbated tribalism.
Yes.
Patrick and Nelson might not be having a concrete reason to be asked some questions, but it is a role of all of us, and that we need to think, including the political leaders. Sometimes, you know, when we look something being portrayed, like the cartoon that you talked about this morning,
mm-hmm.
Where the vice president was seen saying that no to tribalism.
Yes.
You know, these are just only, you know, for the public consumption, but not practical. And this is an institutional issue. The institution are the one that are supposed, you know, to be fighting tribalism and also its spread of hate speech in that regard. Because you could put it right, as Nelson was saying, when the people were saying that when there was that message being circulated in the social media, that the bus has been stopped and Equatorians are taken out of the bus as a retaliation from the haters that were attacked. It turned out not to be true. And it is something that, you know, the media also, you know, need to regulate themselves. I mean, to evaluate themselves, because most of these things, you know, come from other media that are even trusted. Because sometimes that we don't have a clear understanding which one is the accurate information from which from which source, because things are taken at the same level.
Okay.
Even when it does not make sense. So what I would like to ask them is specifically from the media paternity, you should be the one to take the lead in state, because the public here are clueless, because, you know, the nation has just bumped into the, you know, this thing of social media use because they were not new in the first place. But it has caused a lot of crisis in other countries where it has happened.
Okay.
So the media paternity, at least, you know, should take the lead in this to sensitize the people, sensitize the political leaders as well, to make sure that we don't want to put this nation on fire over the issues if that does not exist.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Indeed, you have a charge there, especially to you, Patrick. Let's hear from another caller. Rudy Mirailo. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, what's your name and where are you calling from?
You are connecting to Gram Long Den from Awil.
Yes, Malong Den. How is Awil today?
Awil is okay, Awil is okay. So I have two questions to the guys in the studio.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to connect to the effort of this one of journalism. How do you call those who do free and fuzzy information to political citizens?
Yes, go
especially
ahead.
Patrick Wyatt, because we do keep on seeing him on other TV, mm-hmm. but I have no ever talked to him. So my question is, now, according to the early realization, if they realize that social media have a positive impact or a negative impact in South Sudan, two, is there any criteria of which everybody should need to indicate that you operate illegally or legally? Of course, we are confused really in South Sudan where weapon are operating than the law. So I need Patrick to clarify these two things
Ask your second question again?
Yeah, my second question, I said, is there any criteria which should be made to indicate that this person who is using social media is operating legally or illegally?
Okay, thank you
because
very
we
much.
Have not seen now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, let's hear from two more callers. Radio Mirai, hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
What's your name?
Yeah, this is me, Regla Kola, Tolpuk from Northern Bargalan.
Tolpuk, go ahead and ask.
Yeah, I greet the guests, honorable. You know, as we are South Sudanese, as I'm a youth, social media, it is very important for the new world, because everything you will get on the Facebook. But now, for the those who are using misuse Facebook, what can government can say to those people? And those day, I talk on I speak in I radio last month about misuse of Facebook, because if the government qualify to manage the Facebook, can try to do the process as the person, as we can start the process of the nationality. If you are there, and then you will do process like the way of the nationality, and then the person can be known where they are in, and if they're saying something bad in social media, then the government can search and the security can go there, the place where they are, and then
okay.
They will investigate there.
Thank
and
you very much.
You can be possible to be in order, and then there will be the respect can be between a citizen and the government.
All right. Thank you very much, Tolpuk there. And Tolpuk is suggesting for tracking. Nelson, you'll be able to speak on that and answer Tolpuk's question. And yes, the first challenge given to the media by John. Patrick, I would like you to respond to this and see whether this is possible. Can the media actually take on the lead to sensitize people as well as push for that response, that immediate response that was missing in terms of that 8-hour response? How can you close that gap? And then also, both of you can share the question from Deng, from Awil, who's asking whether social media... This sounds like a debate question, a debate motion. Has it caused more negative or positive effects in South Sudan? So let's start with you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you. The issue of media taking lead in debunking maybe some false information and so on is an ongoing process. But I must say that even us in the media, we are facing challenges. Because this new media, this social media is new to all of us. We are also learning. And you find that some of us have not gone to ICT school. We only studied media. And then things like fact-checking, to fact-check, to do all these things, we also lack in some of the media houses. So therefore, you find that we are in the same problem. And then we are in the same problem, and when, as Nelson said, when... the message is not coming from the authority, a clear message to correct whatever has been said, then as media we are also stuck, because you can't create your own message. You have to get, you know, verified message from the authorities. So that's where sometimes you find as media we are not doing what we are supposed to do, because we are not getting the clear message from the authorities, and then also we are not able to fact check some of the things because of the nature of the country. We sometimes are unable to have people on the ground to verify some of those information. So it becomes a challenge. But you find that the security people, for example, they have forces on the ground that can verify, and they are not talking to you. So those are where challenges are. And then on whether the issue of legality of social media and all this, I didn't understand the question very well.
Is,
but what
is there a way or some criteria to indicate, to sort of spell out what is legal and what is not legal to be done on social media?
Okay, that is a very big thing to do if it is supposed to be done. But what I can just say is that what you do in the open, which is legal, is also legal when you do it in social media.
Mm-hmm.
What you do in the open, which is illegal, is also illegal in social media.
Yeah, I think that's
the
straight up answer.
Yes, is the measure that you can use to judge that what I'm doing might be illegal or legal.
There's also what you don't want someone else to do to you.
It's
not okay.
It's not okay
to do.
Exactly.
All right, coming to you now, Nelson. Speaking on whether social media has impacted South Sudan more negatively or more positively so far, and then you can speak on the issue of how can people who misuse social media, how can they be held accountable?
I think definitely it has impacted South Sudan more positively over the years. We cannot deny that so many people use social media to engage, to do community engagement, to do community outreach, to connect with their people in the U.S. and in other places. So the impact there is definitely positive. In terms of the political space, unfortunately, I can say it has impacted negatively, because right now, in the political space, a lot of politicians realize that you can actually use social media to de-campaign someone. So you find we have had a lot of paid actors now that are kind of creating pages. Initially it's kind of like almost in the form of the Century Report, but now it is just a bogus political smearing campaign. So you see, as soon as someone is appointed, you see all these pages. Oh, this person met with this.
All kinds of information.
So that is actually a social media, that type of political smearing. It's an agent of social media campaign. And it actually works, because it creates enough narrative for someone now to be removed or to do it. So in terms of the political space, it has actually impacted negatively. And you find that now people are just kind of butting head. So we don't have a mature kind of social media political space. And even this, our leaders, a lot of our leaders, since they saw that social media, people can immediately reply, a lot of our leaders don't speak directly to the social media.
Yes. They use other people.
They very rarely, they don't speak directly, because they realize this one can be someone randomly on the comments can what and what. So they don't speak directly. They use other people.
Okay.
To drive their messages. So in a way that we actually went back to square zero in terms of
political space.
Yeah.
What are you doing to us? Okay, now let's look at the legal implications for those who are misusing Facebook.
I mean, what you want to do is actually to have a legal system. You need to have the law, but you need to have the legal system also that is empowered to enforce that law.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot use analog means to enforce kind of like...
So the laws are in place.
Right now we have a defamation section, which is kind of penalizing defamation. That is the section that is there. There are a lot of crimes that are considered like cyber crimes, like doxing, for example, sharing someone's personal information online in order to jeopardize their life. There are a lot of other sections of what is considered like cyberbullying, extortion, scamming. These are all versions of crimes that have very digital nature.
Are there repercussions attached to those laws?
Right now we have the Cybercrime and Computer Misuse Act bill that is still in Parliament being discussed. It actually lists all of these things, but I think a lot of these laws also tend to really push so much into kind of criminalizing defamation and kind of and stuff like that. Now, the problem is that these laws also need a cyber crime and also like a judiciary, what is called like a judicial, like a bench of judges that are also trained on this. Because what has been happening, people have actually been tried for social media things, but what they do, they basically take the screenshots. And I have seen this. They actually take screenshots and they take it to court. They print the screenshot and they take it to court as an evidence. Now, that is a very flawed process, because the screenshots are not actually admissible in court because they're very volatile.
Yeah.
What you actually need is you need to prove that this avatar that exists online, that said 123, is actually me. And then now you need to link all these things so that you can kind of can establish that. But now what has been happening, a lot of people have been tried by doing this country. We know of a case, someone that was jailed in Wau by his uncle because he insulted his uncle online. He was jailed for more than 6 months.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but now that is a very, very bad precedent, because now it's taking offline things and then wanting to use it to try things kind of like online. And we have several cases of defamation, but other crimes, like no one has ever been tried for scamming in this country.
And that is huge.
And that is impacting more people than insults online.
And
thank you.
Just to add a bit that if you want the evidence that is admissible on this, instead of screenshots, yes, you can take your screenshots, but you have to go to National Communication Authority.
Yes.
So that it is verified that this information really came from the person you're accusing.
Okay.
So if you just take the screenshots and rush to court, it may not help you.
Yeah, and sometimes they're doctored anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. And now as we're concluding, maybe you could speak about a recent forum, political parties forum, that focused on the role of media and political parties in promoting civil and political space in South Sudan. So you are in participation. You could give a message in just a minute on that.
Yeah, we had a meeting in December, media and different political parties were represented, and women groups, youth group, yes. And we basically talked about how to create more space, political and civic, and for the media as well. And one of the things that we agreed to do together was that the political parties would be open to talk to us, to give us information. Also, media would be required to be trained more on conflict-sensitive reporting. Lots of things that we discussed, and we had a communique that we agreed on.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. Nelson, last remark in 30 seconds.
I think we just probably need, with the upcoming elections and other a lot of things, I think we need more investment in terms of creating systems that can be able to prevent some of these vices that we have talked about here. And I think also on a positive note, I think a lot of the young people in this country are using social media for very silly and very fun things. A small minority tends to move to that direction of violence, but majority of it is just like for fun.
Okay, so use social media wisely and in the right way. Do not misuse it otherwise. The repercussions are huge. Thank you so much for tuning in to Democracy in Action today. This brings us to the end of it. And I remain Lucy Kidendu. Stay tuned for the Arabic news coming up and more programming here on Radio Miraya. Bye-bye.
Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics and decision making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action. Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.